Welcome to Conversations on Public Health, a regular program from the Harvard School of Public Health that explores current issues in the field. Today we're speaking with David Hunter, a professor of cancer prevention and the director of the program in molecular and genetic epidemiology. He recently wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine that raises some flags about the growing popularity of genetic profiling. There's lots of buzz these days about the advances scientists are making in their knowledge of the genome. First of all, David, can you explain what a genome is?
The complete set of DNA of an organism is called its genome. So the human genome is the DNA in every cell of our bodies that carries the information needed to make the proteins that make up the cellular structures and do the work of the cells. The human genome is a very complex thing. There are about 3 billion individual units or DNA base pairs in the human genome and about 20,000 genes that code for the proteins.
Now, there are a lot of studies recently that have looked at associations between genes and diseases. Can you briefly describe how those studies are done and what researchers are looking for?
The big recent breakthroughs have come from applying a new technique called genome-wide association analysis. We can now test for 500,000 or more genetic variants in each person in a case-control study of a specific disease. And so we can find the genetic variants that are different between cases and controls and thus may alter disease risk.
In your New England Journal of Medicine article, you take issue with two companies that, for a fee, will perform a genetic analysis for anyone that provides a DNA sample. If I can find out that I have a genetic variation that makes me more susceptible to, say, heart disease or cancer, why wouldn't that be helpful for me to know?
I think we all believe that this information will ultimately prove useful to know. But there are several problems with direct-to-consumer marketing of these profiles at present. Firstly, the research is not yet sufficiently mature for most diseases and conditions to really understand how predictive the currently available markers are. Bear in mind that many of these studies have been published for the first time literally in the last few months, and we simply don't know whether all these findings will stand the test of time, and we really need to make sure that we're providing accurate, correct, and reproducible information. Secondly, our experience with counseling about disease risk has usually been done for risk of one disease at a time, and consumers are being presented here with information on dozens of diseases simultaneously, and we simply don't know yet how to manage and interpret this complexity. And finally, ideally, the first people for whom these still evolving tests would be conducted would be enrolled in research studies which can guide future techniques for counseling, risk communication, and procedures to minimize the potential harm that might be done in communicating incorrect disease risks. It's not clear that this research is being performed or could even be performed in the context of direct-to-consumer marketing of the tests.
You mentioned potential harms. Can you explain what some of those might be?
We simply don't know what the obligation or liability of a consumer to a future health or life insurance company would be if they obtain this information. And we really don't understand the psychologic reactions associated with the complexity of the information here. People may falsely overestimate their risk on the basis of this information, or they might be falsely reassured. They might feel that they're immune from a disease when in fact the information really doesn't tell them that.
So what would be your recommendation to people who are considering getting a profile of their genetic makeup?
I would recommend that people first talk with their healthcare provider about whether their family history of any specific condition justifies a referral to a genetic counselor or a high-risk clinic for workup of a potential predisposition to that disease. Good models exist for this on a disease-specific basis. If there are no such major flags in the family history, I would recommend that people wait until our understanding of the predictive value of the genetic association data are more mature, and until we have a better understanding of the best methods to communicate and understand what is an avalanche of data for each person. Even at that point, I'd suggest that people do this in the context of a research study in which they have a chance to contribute to improving the methods by which this very complex information is communicated in a way that would be helpful to individuals and minimize the potential harms.
This has been a Harvard School of Public Health production. Please visit us at www.hsph.harvard.edu.